I am unashamed. What about you?
So one thing we discovered, Jace, that it's just last week we went to the for our Robertson family vacation, which is really interesting because for all the years we've been going, which is that, what, 25 years now probably, since your kids were little?
25 years.
Yeah. We've been going down to the beach together. And, of course, when we were younger, we used to play baseball and football on the beach and that, you know,
volleyball.
Now we don't do anything but golf.
Well, yeah. Well,
I mean, the kids still play, but I'm saying, like, we're now the old guys that we don't.
Well,
I missed the memo on the entire proceeding.
Well, we called them for years EBP, everybody but Phil. That's what we call our summer vacation.
It's weird that you've never gone on vacation. I remember I asked you about it one time. You remember? I said, are you coming? I mean, it was 25 years ago. And you said,
yeah, what's your,
said half naked women, 100 degrees, salt in the water, and sand.
And not a tree in sight.
A tree in sight, and sand everywhere.
And every orifice was the way.
You said, I'm out. I was like, huh.
So that sounds hellish to me.
I forgot that part.
Yeah.
So that's but what, I'm saying, but if you, that's what fires you up. Get after it.
Well, you want to hear something interesting? I went to the beach this year. Of course, they say, you know, coronavirus, 6 feet apart. You know, Florida's beaches were not open. We were in Alabama. So yeah, we go down there. And what I found out later after an investigation, some of our female family members didn't like us being so far from the action, from town.
Because we're like staying way out.
We're way out because we fish and
play golf.
All the golf courses we've played through the years, we used to play them all. Well, now we just have one.
Which is named Peninsula, by the way. If you're ever down there in that area,
hey,
Gulf Shores, it's awesome.
I endorse that. Look, the course is awesome. They have 27
Going
holes.
Going back to your word, action. What exactly is the action that you don't want to get away from?
Well, now you've asked me to get in the mind of our female family members, which
is dangerous.
I don't even attempt at this stage of my life.
I'm just saying.
Here's what I looked up and thought, boy, this traffic's bad. You know, I thought the coronavirus, there wouldn't be anybody out here, you know? And I thought we were staying way out.
Which is where we normally stay.
And I'm like, the women have made a decision here. And the perfect storm happened. I don't want to embellish, but it seemed like a million people.
Well, I'll tell you what they estimated it was 750,000, so you're pretty close.
Okay, 750,000 people have descended on this beach that I'm right in the middle of in a house. Look, there's a condo on the right, full, and a condo on the left.
Now, this is supposed to be, I think, this is supposed to be the way grown adults, family structures have fun. Is fun the word we're looking for? Is that what we're doing here?
Yeah, escape. Or we just well.
So here's what happened. So I walk out. I thought, boy, there's a lot of people here.
I'm waiting for the fun part.
Well, I'm getting there, sort of. And so I walk out on the balcony there, and as soon as I do, you know, somebody hollered, Duck Dynasty. And I thought, oh,
were
boy.
Were they nice about it, or were they flipping you the bones?
Seemed nice, but yeah. I would say inebriated, possibly.
Now we're getting toward
so
the
then,
action.
There's
the action.
Some fun, I guess.
I look to the right, and there's a guy that had a long lens camera, and I'm sitting on the back. He starts taking pictures, and I thought, okay. So what happened after that is I never set foot on the actual beach in a week. I never.
Which is not super unusual for you, to be fair. You don't
I'm
go
going
down
to the beach to have fun, but there's people with spyglasses looking from other areas at what I'm doing sitting here. Some guy, he's half drunk, hollering. Yeah, I'm still waiting on the when we're going to have some fun.
Well, so I went fishing. Look, here's what I did. I'm telling you, I was quarantined at the house at the beach.
Right.
That was basically instead of being quarantined here, I was just quarantined at the house. But then I would leave when everybody else was sleeping. That's when I was moving around. So I would go fishing. I'd get there, you know, before 6. And then when the people started showing up, you know, I'm gone. And then I went metal detecting at night, late night, because there wasn't anybody around. So actually,
And we play golf every day.
And we play golf every day because at the golf course, they just take care of us. And most people that play golf, they don't care. They don't even want a pitcher. You know, they're duck, whatever. You know, they don't care.
Well, they're there to play golf, really.
Yeah, they're like, just be fast and get out of our way. And so, and the people there treat us really nice. But I love that course.
Yeah, and you always played well there because you had kind of been struggling here, and then all of a sudden you step foot on that course and start hitting the ball. I hit the ball better than I have in years.
Al. That fits our game.
It does. And it's kind of fun because we're competitive as the brother. And plus, another thing, Jase, is your boys, they hadn't been there in a while because school and all these other things. So it was fun for me to get to play with them again because they're both good golfers and, you know, just being around them. You know, I thoroughly
enjoy. So you're looking for it. The epicenter is the beach.
Yeah.
But y'all are playing golf, which is not on
the beach. The beach is just a backdrop for us.
So,
it looked fun.
So you're looking for a part of planet Earth where it's an ambiance, a backdrop to what you're asking.
Well, it's where us all been together. But here's the thing.
You can play golf up here.
You can. It's just us doing it together.
But, you go down there, you're not on the beach. You're out there on the golf course. So
all right, let me tell you my favorite parts of this, because we're all together. Of course, you got 40-something people in one house. Which
we're getting too big.
I'm trying to make sure that during your explanation of what the vacation is about. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to fix it in my own mind where I'm not some kind of fuddy dud.
Well, because, it's an unselfish act for the most part at the beach. Now, we get to do, you know, selfish things like playing golf and fishing.
Well, things we like to do.
Yeah, but I'll admit, while I'm at the house, I'm only there to just be with the family because I'm not getting any enjoyment.
Breakfast every morning, which is fun.
Which, look, sidebar, Miss Kay, you know, had surgery. She's doing.
Which was the bummer because the first time we've all gotten together, because Jep's been out of whack living in Texas. This year, we finally got everybody back in the house. And of all things, Mom, who loves it, and her sister, she gets this clogged artery and has to have surgery. And so she had to miss it. And so breakfast, when she does the biscuits, is one of the favorite times. But this year.
Well, right. But
and just remember, while y'all are at the beach having fun, I'm with the two old women. And I'm running with the old women.
Because she had her surgery. And I want to say we appreciate the prayers. And she's really doing
awesome, by the way. Thank you.
We missed her. But you know what you'll find fascinating, which I was really impressed. You had three girls rose up. Nobody appointed.
No.
You know, they said, we're going to carry on Miss Kay's tradition, and we're going to cook biscuits, homemade biscuits, every morning. Because they had helped Mom in the past.
Mom does it with the granddaughters.
Every day.
Miss Kay being here, I was basically tending the wounds of your mother while y'all were out.
Yeah, and they were quite extensive.
Quite extensive.
Yeah, she had the
whole makeup. Changing the bandages.
But I wanted to tell you this. So you got BK, who's – how old is BK?
BK is 12, and she's Mom's great-granddaughter.
She's 12. She looks –
that's my granddaughter.
Younger. And you had Scylla, who was
– she's about 13.
These are all nicknames. So
13.
She's 13. Well, then Karina, who Mia had taught her at our house how to do it, so she was familiar.
She's Jace's sort of adopted daughter we've talked about before. She's from Nicaragua.
She's my Nicaraguan acquired daughter, and she's awesome. Mm-hmm. So she laughs every time I say Nicaragua because I have trouble saying that because, you know, us being from this culture, every word we say it slowly. What are y'all – but – everything she says is fast.
I was laughing at her yesterday because you weren't there. We had that steak that Jay cooked for us.
Yeah.
And I said, well, Karina, what do you think of that steak? And she said, it's so delicious.
Yeah. Well, look, I've noticed.
I said, say it again because it was good.
Every time I talk to her and we start, you know, goofing about or whatever, I get into my Nacho Libre voice, which is because I don't know if I'm trying to be funny or.
Well, it sounds so cool to you. You're just trying to sound like them. I think.
Yeah, I guess so. But we have a lot of fun. But they. So they made the biscuits every morning. I think it's my favorite part. I mean, for me to wake up and go down there or just come in from fishing, and here's this three young girls cooking biscuits for 40 people.
And me and Jay, we had two griddles, so we're cooking 2.5 to 3 pounds of bacon every morning because, you know,
Important point. Pause for cough. I guess a pretty important point to bring up at this point is that my sociologist, Sociology 101, they split the human race, which is all there is, human race. They split that into three separate races, unbeknown to them and unbeknown to me. I'm looking at what they're saying.
This is when you were in college?
In college. I put on the test, you know, okay, Caucasian. They had it Negroid and Mongoloid. They had those were the three answers that you had to put on the test back in the 60s. I don't know what they're saying now. There's no idea. No. You couldn't even.
Well, now they just attach everything. Yeah, right. Asian,
it's
American.
Interesting that our family structure includes, they're just human beings.
Sure.
Some live way down there in Nicaragua, and the other one lives in Taiwan.
Yeah. Well, Willie
brought them all together under one head, even
we
Jesus.
We do have Asian inside Nicaragua.
Two African Americans.
Yes. Right. And inside our family structure, most people would say, well, at least they were wise enough to get different races. But to us, it's just one race.
Right.
We're all human beings here.
Right.
Taiwan, human being, the little girl, then Gus, the little African American boy. You say
he ain't little.
He's some kind of African American. No, human beings.
I don't notice. Look,
from one man, God made every nation of men, determined the time set for them, exact places they should live. He did that so men might reach out and seek him, perhaps find him, though he's not far from each one of us. I just make that point for people to understand. We don't view our fellow man as groups of races.
Well, especially with what's...
Biblically speaking, that's not in the Bible.
Well, and even family speaking, which is interesting.
We're all human beings.
So by the way, not only did we lose Mom this year, but Willie didn't come because he came out and cooked some for y'all, and so he didn't come this year. And what's funny, because Willie is the only one that in the past has cooked from his family, because Corey can't cook. No shocker here. She'll tell you that if she was here. She can't cook. So, but it was really interesting this year. So Rebecca, who is Willie's kind of Asian version of Karina for you guys, she's the exchange student that never left. She took it upon herself. The first time they got there, she and Corey went down to the Asian market in Pensacola, drove down there, loaded up, and then we had like an Asian night. It was delicious.
She has
developed into a good little cook. So I thought about it. We had a whole nother flavor come into the family this year, even with the food.
I have a funny story. Phil, you'll like this. If you notice, my beard's a little darker today. You notice this? Y'all didn't notice. Shocker.
I'm seeing it now. A little.
It's a little darker.
That'll hold you for about another 3, 4, 5 years. Then that's over.
Here's why I did this. So we're on vacation. I hadn't seen Gus, I guess, since, what is he, 4 now?
Yeah, he's 4.
And so he comes over there. He's having trouble with with something. And Jessica had already told him, because Jep was gone doing something. She's like, look, if you don't be good, you know, Uncle Jace over there is a world-class thumper. You know, of course, he called it flicking, and he will thump you if you don't behave, you know. So he's already had looked at me, you know. And
Dad used to be a thumper.
That connection. She was using me. I was like, that's fine. Use me for peace and order, because that's really all you want. So look, he comes over hours later, and he said, Papa Phil, and I thought he was going to tell me something about you. And he was like, Papa Phil. I was like, are you talking to me? I said, I'm not Papa Phil. He said, Papa Phil. And then he starts talking. I'm like, he thinks I'm you. So I thought, you know, I told Missy, I said, next time you go down here to one of these stores, I got to do something here. This is getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I thought you would like that story.
And when you start getting mistaken for dad, let's take a quick break. So one of my favorite sponsors for our podcast is a group called Duke Cannon. And I like because they kind of got a lot of really tongue-in-cheek, funny things they put on their boxes and stuff. It's a very great American company.
And it's soap. I wonder why they chose us.
I don't know, but they keep sending us soap. Do you think it's maybe something specific for us three?
They just looked at us and said, send them some soap.
Yeah, some people, have you noticed, and we qualify, we just look like we stink.
And I have to say, being around you two, sometimes it's true, especially during duck season.
Oh, there's no doubt. Phil doesn't wash his clothes during duck season because he thinks that they're less warm, right, which is disturbing and not true.
High-powered detergent, too much of that, and you just it rots your
So
clothes.
Guess what? People send you soap because of your views on that.
I'll try. What does it do?
Well, smell that. Just smell that. I mean, that smells pretty good to me. And you know what's interesting, Dad? They use Budweiser beer in this particular soap.
Huh.
And we had one. Jason and I tried one. Jason, have you tried the bourbon one yet?
I have not tried it
yet. So I sent that home with Jace to try it. But it's a really good – it's just a manly smell. But
I've never been much of a drinker, so this is actually appealing to me.
Well, that's right. You don't have to drink the Budweiser. You just wash
it
off.
Yeah, and I'm getting it on, which is a huge difference.
I haven't partaken of any beer for years.
I wonder if they have a disclaimer, you know, Redneck USA
beer
down
too
there.
Probably wouldn't hurt you.
This is not for eating.
Yeah, don't eat it. Don't eat the soap. Don't wash your mouth out.
Thank me. Yeah, this is a kid's dream. Oh, go wash your mouth out with soap.
Ooh,
okay.
Get the beer soap. I love it. So anyway, check these guys out. Father's Day is coming up. We got some great products for dads from Duke Cannon. They got their Patriot Collection. We got the beer soap. We got beard balm. We got beard oil. All that fits us perfectly. You can create your own bundle. They got a lot of really cool stuff. So you need to check these guys out. One of the things you need to know is that Duke Cannon partners with active duty military to develop and review products as well. So that's one of the reasons why we like these guys. They're into beards. We like that too. So visit DukeCannon.com and use the promo code Phil. You get 10% off your entire order. So it's DukeCannon.com. Use the promo code Phil. Free shipping with all orders over $20.
Look out, a portion of proceeds benefits U.S. veterans.
There you go. They're big on veterans, awesome. And so are we.
And you now have a line. If someone says, hey, you want a beer? You can say, no, I'll wear it.
So I wanted to comment, just thank you guys. We've been getting a ton. By the way, thank you to Unashamed Nation. You guys, because of you, this past week, we're number 15 in the nation in all podcasts, which we've always done well in the kind of religious spiritual
category. Is that big?
That's big. I mean, we
were not right. According to that guy that said, if you're not first, you're last.
Well, I guess so. It is. We were 212 and now we're 15, so I don't know. But anyway, it's because of you, and I know you've been telling people about it, so I just want to say thanks. And, of course, we revealed Phyllis the last couple of podcasts, and a lot of you have watched that and sent comments. And I wanted to, there was a letter that came from one of our listeners, and I just wanted to share one little bit of it with all you guys today because I thought it was really good just to kind of show you his perspective. He told me about a family situation that he had that was sort of similar to ours but different, where there was a family member that, you know, someone had died, and so it was kind of like a disconnected family. And then that when they tried to connect, he was saying that his grandfather, who had this daughter that, you know, wasn't with his wife, just never could make it happen. And the girl was really bitter because he married again. And this is from Ian. Thank you, Ian, for your note. And then he said that when his grandfather passed away, his dad was the executor of the will, and he had to track down this half-sister. And he said that she said, well, I'm probably not going to get anything, so why does it even matter? And so he makes the point that even after all those years, and now the grandfather had died, and, you know, we've moved way beyond anything else. And of course, his point in the note he sent was there was no God present. in any of the conversation.
Yep.
The grandfather was not a believer. And so he sent me, and he said, so after all these years, the whole situation just ended in bitterness. The girl was bitter. The family was bitter. And he said, I know it's not the same, but I just wanted to tell you guys and show you how thankful I am that Christ was at the center of everything you guys are talking about. He said, because the ending obviously was so different. And so I appreciated the note because it kind of reminded me that that's what's the most important part, you know, of something like this happening. Because it was, you know, like as we described, it was pretty traumatic for us. So thank you for all the notes you sent about it. You guys have really been super positive, and that's been a good thing. So I thought that went really well.
Well, Phil, you read that Acts 17. You know, I think with what's happening, you know, in the news, where I'm sure everyone, even me, I don't even watch the news. But, you know, while we were on vacation, we see the riots going on every night and you know, just the appalling event that caused all this. And what's interesting is, you know, one of our family members is a cop. And
one of our new, your new grandson.
He was saying the proper procedure, you know, because we were watching the video, and he was like, because he was mad, not only obviously for this injustice, but there was another police officer standing next to this. He was like, it's his responsibility. Of course, he had his brother get down, and he actually showed us
was showing the holds and how you're supposed to do this. Oh, and we're watching the video.
And so, you know, obviously, like everyone else with, you know, just who's watching this, you're appalled that this happened. Of course, then what usually happens in our society is, you know, you got a right to, you know, protest, and you should be protesting. It's ridiculous. And you look at the African American community, you understand why they're hot. Because you're like, I mean, I could be a black guy walking down the street. Next thing you know, I'm dead because they think I'm somebody else. I'm not sure what, I never heard the exact details. I think they thought he was somebody else or investigating.
Something to do with he had some counterfeit money, but I don't know if it was a misidentification. I'm not sure the genesis.
Well, that's what I heard, but who knows, you know. But then you escalate. This becomes escalated where it goes from protest to, yeah, we need to get some justice. This is terrible, and we all agree, you know. And then it's like these groups come in who are anti-America or whatever, and then they start doing things that are exactly what just happened.
Yeah.
They're attacking and killing, you know, homeowners because they're white or business owner, you know, and you're like, what the heck is going on here?
I think the answer to the quandary is this. Correct me if I'm wrong. I've heard no one in the news media, not once, maybe I missed it, maybe y'all have, I've not heard one person say a word about sin. The definition of sin is everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4.
And everybody sins whether they are a police officer or not.
But if you take sin out of the equation, you're going to have a hard time grappling with what exactly is going on here.
I have seen some, as you're giving us that next passage, that I've heard, I'd say at least three different people that were guests. One of them is an African-American guy running for Congress, I think,
yeah, I saw
in
him.
Minnesota. He used the word evil quite a bit.
Yeah.
In other words, he put it in a good and evil context about behavior, obviously, which started with the police officer that did this and started this. By the way, this guy had killed somebody before in the line of duty.
And then there was
a case, and they didn't prosecute him.
They said about 18 charges brought against him at some point.
But you still have things that happen, and then who is that said 10% of life is what happens and 90% how you respond? Look, lock him up. You know, for life. What, you know, if it's found out that, you know, he's killed another man for whatever reason. I mean, obviously, when I had the description of how he should have been performing his duty, and he's not doing that,
yeah,
without knowing his motives for whatever reason, he's broken.
Well, then
the cycle, and he has no regard for human life. Or I mean, he's treating him just like a piece of trash here.
Right.
You know. So yes, the guy should be. Throw the book at him.
Right. And the fair part is we wouldn't paint the brush for all police officers to function like this man did. And I don't paint the broad brush of all these protesters are all thugs. They're not.
That's right.
A lot of people, and I understand they should be protesting because of what happened.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
It's the shame of it is the same bad actors, as they've been calling them, like this police officer started out, is these people that are committing all this violence. And what's sad is it against these communities. I mean,
it's terrible. But Phil's right. Look, when you keep sin and ultimately grace as the high points of which we all participate in or would like to participate in, when you think about where the line is crossed, I mean, breaking into businesses and all, we're never going to condone that. But you know what? I understand. You're mad, and rightfully so. And, if you destroyed property, I wouldn't condone it, but I would understand it. But when you start stealing and just taking it to your house and watching it,
and on the
way you deck somebody because they're a different color, well, wait a minute here. We're back to sin again. We just had a vicious cycle.
Well, you
got to
remember, if you witness a sin, the policeman with the knee on the neck way overdid it. He's, tie his feet, tie his arms behind him. 3-4 of you get him.
They have a protocol that he didn't follow. Throw him in the back of the car,
and let's go to the jail for whatever happened. We'll clear it up on whether the $20 bill was bogus or not. So that's what he should have done, but he sins. Well, everybody watching it, as soon as that got in the news media, the response to that was more sin. In other words, this is a way to remedy what just happened to this unfortunate man. This is the way to remedy it. So they take off, and they're going to show us what it's like, what the remedy should look like. Well, I'm looking up, and I'm seeing looting, robbery, burglary, and throwing rocks, busting people's heads, and burn the whole thing down. That's our response to sin. More sin.
Yeah, it's bad.
So I'm just looking at it saying, they can say what they want to, but I think this is going to end up being, and it always has, being a spiritual fix.
Hang on, Dad. Before you read that text, let's take a break.
Okay, so one of our sponsors, Helix. What is the full
name?
Helix
Sleep.
Helix Sleep. Simple.
Yeah.
They sent me a bed, and I went through the whole system. I did it myself, nobody else. So it's pretty easy.
It's like a 2-minute quiz.
Yeah. Yep. They're like, do you sleep on your right side, left side, whatever. So we do it. So the bed comes in, and at the same time that my son got home from college, so he's like, do you want me to set that up for you? I was like, great. I thought, raise this one right. I have raised this son properly. So, of course, he sets it up, gets it all ready, and I'm like, well, where is it? And he's like, well, I have it down in my room. So I was going to test the bed that my son has now upgraded his bed. It was falling apart. And so I'm like, give me a full report. And he said, oh, I'm sleeping like a baby. So there's your report.
So according to Cole, that's Jason's son, Helix Sleep is the way to go.
The boy is sleeping like, and he loves to sleep.
I know that.
He does.
So you can go to helixsleep.com/unashamed. You take their 2-minute quiz, and they're going to tell you what all that you need to know. They've got a 10-year warranty. You can try it for 100 nights, which is a long time. Okay. That's a third of a year.
He's a weekend.
There you go. So he's got 100 nights. He's got 90 nights to go. It's risk-free. They'll come pick it up if you don't love it, but apparently it already sounds like Cole's not giving up this bed. So Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our Unashamed listeners. That's a pretty cool deal. $200 off and 2 free pillows. HelixSleep.com/unashamed. Save your $200 and start sleeping like Cole.
After the Apostle Paul, you say, the guy who wrote what you're going to read here, was he free of sin? Was he a sinful man? Oh, he was, according to him, he said, I'm the worst sinner. He's the one writing this. Since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, there's a whole group of individuals, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. And the list is, they become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They're full of envy, murder. You see one murder and you commit more. You get into strife, deceit, malice. They're gossips, slanderers, God, haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They disobey their parents. They're senseless, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. It's a mob taking off and just burning the thing down after you steal everything you get your hands on because we saw someone sin. We're going to show you how to handle it. Well, although they know that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, but they approve of those who practice them. That's one text. This sinful man, the Apostle Paul, wrote that. He drops down, that's chapter 1 in Romans. You get to chapter 2. God will give to each person according to what he's done. Here's the goal. Here's the facts. For those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he'll give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there'll be wrath and anger. There'll be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But listen to this, glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for Gentile, the whole human race. You say, so you see something bad happen, and you add to that more bad. You're like, we're going to show you how to get out of this.
Well, it never works. Yeah. You know what I mean?
This is the way we'll get justice. I'm like, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. I mean, you're doing the same things that you're rebelling against. You saw a murder, so let's go out
and now, murder.
Let's go out and murder, rob, and whatever, and burn the whole thing down. Well, you end up with charred buildings, nowhere to shop, and you say, what happened to our community? Some fool will walk up and say, y'all burn it down. After you stole everything you get your hands on, you burned it down. We don't have a community anymore. Y'all destroyed it. You say, well, we wanted them to listen that we shouldn't murder each other. I'm thinking, you go to any major city, somebody made the point in Chicago 2 nights ago, and one night 48 were shot, 8 of them died. I'm like, so you read those texts about doing good and doing evil, sin. It's sin. It's a spiritual fix. I've been saying for years, the reason I talk about my sinful past, the guy who wrote what I just read in Romans 1:2, and to get over to 3, here comes Jesus, now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and prophets testify. It comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace.
That was the text I was thinking about, sin and grace. I mean, there it is, that transition. But you think about
Jesus solved our problem, but you say to get people to realize that, it's like pulling teeth.
Yeah.
But I think even where we're at in John, you know, they had the old law. God sets it up to say, you know, here's if you want to be perfect, here it is. And now when Jesus comes as the transition to fulfill that law, he runs up on a scenario where here's a bunch of guys, religious people, with rocks, and they're fixing to kill a woman who was caught in the act of adultery in John 8. And a lot of religious people that I've met, they don't like that this story is in the Bible because it doesn't really fit their narrative because she's guilty. She's not a good person. You think about her husband, what she's done to him and the kids and this, you know, and she's violated the law willfully. And then
I've been there.
Yeah. And here comes Jesus and he's like, well, wait a minute. You know, this is not the proper way to enforce the law. Which to me
he
is,
said the one who's never sinned, you throw the first stone.
Well, right. But I'm just making a point about what's going on in our country. You had a police officer who was not enforcing the law. In fact, he was showing he wasn't protecting and serving. He was disregarding, you know, a human life.
Correct.
And so that's not the proper way to enforce the law. That's right. And Jesus was making the same point because this woman was fixed to die.
Yep.
And by the way, you know that's true because that text is set up, and this is John 8, with they were trying to trap Jesus. So their motive wasn't just, you know, we got to do the law. They had ulterior motives as to what they were trying to.
Which showed a disregard for this human life. They didn't care about this girl.
Did not care about the girl.
Didn't care about. And if she had to die to prove their point, fine with them. So, you know, I see similarities there in the lack of regard for human life. And what I like about Jesus, not just in that story, but in all stories, he always came to the rescue of every human being in every moment, no matter where they were from. You already had the John 4 story.
Samaritan woman.
No matter what they've been through, John 5, here's a guy who basically had just become to people a burden.
Walking past him for 40 years.
Walking past him, don't care about him. And so it's amazing how many stories, if you read it for yourself in the book of John, on how people had disregarded their lives for whatever reason, and here comes Jesus saying, no, this is value.
I explained it to Laura Trump. I was on her radio podcast the other day. I said, I've just noticed, and I think everyone, even atheists, would agree. Even the atheist, which we love, we're like, dude, think about this.
We love everybody.
Yeah. So look, where the Jesus rate is high, Book of John tells stories, and now you fast forward 2,000 years, we have the same type stories going on. Where the Jesus rate is high, the crime rate, do y'all agree, is always low. Where Jesus is there, the crime rate is low. Where there is no Jesus, no recognition of Jesus, you say the crime rate is always high. I didn't read that anywhere. I've just observed, and I'm looking at it, and Jace, you're right. You take Jesus out of the equation, take him out and the knowledge of him in your heart where he's not there. Oh, the crime rate is going to be high.
Yeah.
And where he is, I've just watched it. You say the crime rate's low if Jesus
is there. Well, supposedly this guy was a believer.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I heard. Let's take a quick break.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
I was thinking, Jace, that your point back to the woman. Once everybody, you know, Jesus said, if the first one without sin, you know, throw the first stone. And then it said the older ones first, which is interesting.
Started dropping the rocks,
and then the young ones. You notice that passion. You
By
know,
the
you,
way, am I dreaming? I just looked at the age of
that's
everyone.
That's why I was going to make that point, yeah.
And what struck me was, I said, there's very few people over 35.
I'd say even young, even probably over, I,
I'm
over
looking,
30.
And I'm thinking, where did all these young people come up with some of this stuff? I mean, they're smart enough to be hiding bottles of gasoline in the bushes. They'll know where they are tonight when they're going to go down there and burn the next door.
But some of these
thing
people
was organized. I mean, oh,
well, because what happened is these people.
Why is it that age group, young people?
I'm fixed to tell you. Some of these people who are anti-America and anti-God and anti any organized, corporation or having governments, and they just wait on an opportunity to try to cause chaos and disorder, because wrongfully they think that if we cause such a problem, maybe the whole thing will crash and crumble, and then we can take over and start a new world.
Yeah, I saw Obama giving a speech in 15 about Baltimore. I mean, when Baltimore was on fire, every night we're watching it. And he was saying in his press conference what we just said. He challenged. He said, this isn't protest. You have hijacked this. You're thugs. You're arson. He went through the whole bit.
Right.
I mean, because he saw it. So this is more of an uprising. What Jason is talking about is an uprising. It's young people. It is Marxist in nature. Look.
They're not political. They hate all politicians. They want to, like, this is reminds me of, like, what Charles Manson did. He was like, let's start some chaos that will dethrone organized
destroy it,
country.
Burn it all
down.
Yeah,
that was his same thought. So let's go kill someone and frame the cops. Remember, that was his thinking. They put, pigs or whatever on it. And he was trying to cause social chaos so that somehow in his demented mind he could take over the world. And so it was all like a plan. When you watch the shows and interviews, it's so disturbing. You're like, this was your plan?
My point is, I just think that I've been saying this for years. I think maybe politically could be helped here, that, but I don't think it's a political fix. I think it's a spiritual fix.
No doubt. I mean, look, Jesus.
And I think sin and the ravages of it is sweeping the country, and we're getting a glimpse of what sin and hell looks like.
Well, you remember in
it's hell on earth in
some
of these
in John 1 when it said Jesus is the one and only. He came full of grace and truth.
Yep.
So the way I was explaining my sermon yesterday is that's a coin, and you got grace on one side and truth on the other. Jesus brought both.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was really interesting what he told Pilate in John 18. He said, you're right in saying I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. I always thought it was
interesting. And meanwhile, he's being derailed by the justice
Department.
Man did nothing wrong. I mean,
you talk about an innocent man led to the slaughter.
Every time I hear, look, as bad as this story is, and there's been many others throughout American history. You remember the guy that said, "Why can't we just get along?"
Oh yeah, Rodney King. 92.
All these things that happened, the riots.
The late 60s, tons of riots.
And never worked. You know, but here's Jesus, who, if anybody, had something different than what we said. We all have sin. We all need grace. How we respond to situations matters. Here, Jesus didn't do anything wrong. He made us. He made civilization. He is being railroaded at every turn.
Look what they did to him.
And they beat him unrecognizable. And everything he did was good. So guess what? Crap happens.
Yeah.
And it happened, and he used that, to rescue us. But Phil, you were accused. Here's what's amazing to me. The most non-racist person I know is you, because you raised us, as many faults as you had, and we've gone through that. one of them was that we were raised pre-Jesus and after Jesus. You don't take in consideration someone's skin color.
That's right.
And so
were saying human race even when you weren't a Christian.
Because look. Racism and hatred, now those are learned behaviors.
That is
when
correct.
You take two little kids playing at the playground, you know, I'm talking about little kid. They'll play. They don't. Makes nobody no ever stops and says, "Oh, well, I'm playing with a black kid." They hear that from their, you know, parents or cousin or uncle or whatever. So we were raised at an early age. So it's like I remember bringing a guy to Jesus. And before that actually happened, he came and visited our church, and he leaned over and he said, "There's black people in here." And I leaned back and said, "I hadn't noticed." I mean, it made me mad that he said that.
Yeah, he even said that.
And I looked up a few minutes later, and he was tearing up, you know. And I said, "What's wrong?" And he's like, "I was just, you know, raised a racist." And it's good. The fact that I didn't notice brought him to tears, you know. But I'm like, this is my family here. We're not worried about the pigmentation of skin.
Yeah, the bottom line is.
Hang on, Dan. Let's take one last break.
It is interesting, going back to all of what we've read in John, here's God's statement on law enforcement and each one of us. Everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. You say, well, what kind of structure is it? Is it communism? Is it socialism? Is it capitalism? He didn't go into all that. He said God has established authorities. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. This is pretty serious stuff. When you say, well, here's what I think about the government. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Rulers, and he's talking about ruler written 2,000 years ago, you say this wasn't a democratic republic here. No, not the Roman Empire. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, which you just saw, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. The law enforcement agent working for the Minneapolis Police Department forgot that. He made a mistake there. The people who were with him made the mistake. They should have got him off the guy.
That's right.
You said should have done that, but he didn't do it. Well, here comes somebody along, sees the video, and says, and they forget everything in law is summed up in one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. The people who got in the streets, you say, they're showing us the opposite. They don't love their neighbor either. They're stealing from them and they're burning their businesses down. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Love does no harm. You can't rob, loot, and burn and say we're doing it because we saw someone else who was harming his neighbor. So we're going to harm our neighbors on a bigger scale. Maybe y'all, though, then you'll all listen and we'll all come together and love one another. Yeah. It's not going to work out.
No, it just,
yeah, I'm telling you, it's a deficit and a love problem. And love is the fulfillment of all the law. You think about it, you say.
Yeah. I thought the other day when I was metal detecting, you know, Murray and I, we had found some coins, and then all of a sudden we started finding Civil War bullets. And at first, you know, it was kind of exciting because you're thinking it's 200 years old, you know. Yeah. And then we kept finding more and more and more. And at some point in that, it became kind of sobering. I thought, you know, there was a time in our history, and you still see signs of it, where there were people, Americans, shooting at each other.
And hitting each other.
And hitting each other. One of these bullets might have gone through another American.
That's right.
Over a question of, can some of these people own the other people because they have a different skin color? And I thought, y'all was just looking at those bullets, and I thought, man, what a sinful idea. You know, instead of looking at people like the human race, but, you know, it's one thing to read the story. It's another thing to be staring at that bullet out there in a field thinking, hey, they were shooting at each other over this. So my answer to the situation, because I know we have to go, is I think the three most read verses in our podcast, other than the book we're studying in John, has been that 1 Corinthians 12, where it said, we are all given the one spirit to drink in Jesus. There's neither slave nor free, Jew nor Greek. You know, we're all one in Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27.
One race, human race.
There's no male nor female, and all this equality and this battle over our differences. It's amazing how in Jesus, you're free from that. That's why I'm sitting in the church building.
It will work.
And I'm not noticing that the person sitting next to me, whom I love, who I'll grab their hand, is black. It never crosses my mind. I went past noticing that years ago. And so, but it's found in Jesus. And those principles, even before you and my mom came to Jesus, that was a godly principle. That we're all the same, made in the image of God. This police officer did not view that person as made in the image of God.
That's right.
And so I say don't let the exceptions in our law enforcement dictate our society. When they break the law, just like any other person, you put them down. Make a statement. If you want to protest, protest. But don't let these other groups who are anti-America and anti-God come in and do the same thing that started the whole process.
And look, if your neighbor sins against you, yeah, that's fine to say. But what if it happened to one of your family members or you'd say, I have to forgive him. They're like, forgive him? I mean, look, how many times are we going to forgive? Jesus said, they said seven? Jesus said 70 times seven. Forgive them and move on. It's a tough concept. It's a spiritual fix, and I don't know whether the nation's going to see it or not, but if they don't, the whole thing's going to implode on us.
Well, I think that's why it's important for us to have these discussions and to keep it where it should be. So anyway, thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time.
So we're so glad you guys were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or YouTube or Facebook, and be sure and rate us on iTunes so that other people can know about the podcast.